Good morning, everyone. Go ahead and start turning, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 8. Nearly done with our summer series here in the book of Proverbs. We've got this week and next week, and then we'll be back in our study in the book of Luke. So, I'm from Wyoming. Back in Wyoming, I loved camping and going into the mountains. And there's a particularly special place that we used to go and camp. It was called Sunlight Basin. It's way back in the wilderness, far from anyone, which I really like sometimes, right? Get away from it all. And to get to Sunlight Basin, you have to go over a mountain. And at the top, though, before you go over, there's this overlook, right, at the top of this mountain. And it's one of my favorite places in the whole world. And from this place, I mean, you can see for miles. And what you see there is this incredible view of rugged mountains and snow-capped peaks. And there's rivers flowing in every valley. There's trees, you know, pine trees covering like a blanket. There's this really, really deep and narrow canyon with a waterfall. And then there's this crazy structure that it's this giant rock that looks, it's flat like a table. And all of this is there to see. And I've taken a picture of this spot so many times because I want to capture the beauty and I want to tell people about it. But pictures just never do it justice, do they? You have to be there to experience it, to fully appreciate it. Well, so far in the book of Proverbs, Solomon has been trying to show us the importance, right, of wisdom, to show us the beauty and the power of wisdom. And maybe so far it's still just a picture someone's trying to describe, and you just can't visualize it for yourself in 3D. Well, today, we're going to give it one last shot. Solomon's going to paint for us, once again, a beautiful and compelling picture of how amazing wisdom is, in hopes that you would see it for yourself. Experience it firsthand. Because the allure of the adulteress we saw last week and her beauty cannot compare to the beauty of wisdom. So chapter 8, as we read this, it's like the mountaintop view of wisdom. It's the high point, it's the overlook that we might see it with the eyes of faith. So let's read this wonderful chapter. We're going to read the whole thing. So if you have a Bible, please open that. If not, it will be on the screen up here behind me. This is God's word. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in the front of the town, at the entrance of the portal, she cries aloud. To you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right. For my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There's nothing twisted or crooked in them. They're all straight to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance in the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. By me, kings reign. Rulers decree what is just. By me, princes rule and nobles, all who govern justly. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the paths of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasuries. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago I was set up, At the first, before the beginning of the earth, when there were no depths, I was brought forth. And there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. Before he had made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle in the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in the inhabited world and delighting in the children of man. And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord God, for your word to us. Thank you that you lead us in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. God, I pray through your word today that you might help us to seek your face and to seek Lady Wisdom. And Father, I do pray as well, if there's any here today that do not know you as Lord and Savior, that today would be the day of their salvation. We pray in your name. Amen. All right, so last week, chapter 7, we met the adulteress, right? The one, she's loud, remember? She's wayward. She's lying in wait at every corner to seize foolish men. And do you remember where she leads to? Death. Death. Now here in chapter 8, we meet Wisdom. And she's presented as another woman, a woman quite the opposite of the adulteress. She's a woman of remarkable character, and she's going to lead us in the right path. And we're going to look at four sections of her CV, if you will, or her resume. Things that describe her and why she is worthy of being pursued. We're going to look at her voice, what she says, her character, her references, and her blessings. So if you're taking notes, her voice, her character, her references, and her blessings. So first, verses 1 through 11 there, her voice. You see there, in contrast to the adulteress, Wisdom 2 raises her voice. See that verse 1? But notice where she is, verse 2 and 3. She's on the heights beside the way. She's at the crossroads. She's at the gates of town and the entrance of portals. Now, the entrance of town maybe doesn't seem like a big deal to us, but back then it's an important place. This is where the leaders of the city, the elders, would go to discuss important matters, even court cases. It's also a place of business and trade. Then obviously crossroads, right? That's a place of decision. Which way am I going to go? Then it says also high places, portals all around the city. So basically Wisdom is saying and calling out, I'm everywhere. And she's shouting loudly to us. See, Wisdom isn't just standing idly by, letting us go down the path of temptation. She's like a mother who sees her child step off the pavement, right? And she's calling out to warn them. Don't, you're gonna hurt yourself. And Wisdom is calling out in all these different places. Why? Because Wisdom, as we've said all throughout the study, Wisdom is for all of life, church. In every decision, in every crossroad, we must have wisdom, right? Because those decisions are every day, all the time, aren't they? I mean, think about it. Think about your day. Who should I talk to today? Or who should I avoid today? What should I spend my money on today or not? How should I spend my time today? What will I read today? What am I going to look at on my phone today? Who am I going to go be with today? Who am I going to spend my time with? What should I eat today? What should I wear today, even? What shall I watch today or not watch? Should I send that text message? Should I make that phone call? We can go on and on and on. And they might seem little, but in all those little decisions, wouldn't it be nice to have a little bit of godly wisdom to navigate them all? Amen? And we have it. We have it. Wisdom is all around. It's at every turn, calling out for you to listen, leading you to the straight and narrow. It's for everyone, all mankind. This wisdom is for you, it says in verse 4. It's all here to navigate life. What else does woman wisdom say? She speaks loudly. She's everywhere. Wisdom speaks what is noble and right, verse 6. Truthful, righteous, things that are straightforward, verse 7 to 9. Essentially, she speaks and leads people in the right direction. So again, you're at a crossroads. You have a decision to make. That's what we need, isn't it? To know the right direction. And she promises to lead us in that if we pursue and listen to her. Godly wisdom, the Bible will never lead us in a direction that is not true. How do we know that? Notice what wisdom mentions she is not. Verse 7, wickedness is an abomination to her. She's not going to lead you to anything wicked. There's nothing twisted or crooked in her words, verse 8. Wisdom hates what God hates. You will not hear anything bad out of her mouth. So if we listen to the voice of wisdom, she's going to lead us to make decisions that honor God and lead us in the right direction. Now, it may not be the easiest decision, right? Following God's word doesn't mean it's the easiest. It may not be what you want or where you want to go. And even the outcome might not be ideal, could be difficult. But we can be assured if we listen to the voice of God, listen to wisdom, it's going to be for our good and his glory. Amen? Church, there are so many voices in the world. I was walking through the fort last week, and I was just looking around, taking in all the signs and the adverts. Buy this, eat this, drink this, wear this, join our membership, finance this, right? Go on holiday. All these shops are voices calling for my attention. And then we have something that's so destructive now, that cell phone in our pockets, the wolf in our pockets, a voice calling out to us, listening to whatever filth is on there at times. You add that to the voice from unbelieving friends, family, and sometimes the worst voice of all, our own, right? All those voices calling out, distracting us, leading us away from God, what is right and what's true. So amidst all those voices, church, we need to have wisdom to navigate it, right? Because it only takes one small thing to lead us on a course down the wrong path. And we saw that with the adulteress last week, didn't we? One decision can lead you into sin, despair, death. Which is why we need wisdom in all of it. Amen? All of it. So woman wisdom is there. She says, come, listen to my voice. You will not find a more trustworthy companion. So that's what she says. Secondly, verses 12 through 21, wisdom continues to make her case by telling us more of her character, her attributes. Okay, she's explaining a little bit more of her CV, her resume, more of why she's worth following and listening to. And notice some of the characteristics listed. Verse 12, prudence, knowledge, discretion. This is good ethics to a person. Prudence is being sensible. And knowledge and discretion go along with that. To know when to do something and when not to. And to have discretion is to identify what is good and what is evil and to avoid it. Essentially, which voice do we listen to, right? Discretion. And then we see again things that don't describe her. She says, there's no pride, there's no arrogance. The way of evil and perverted speech, you're not going to find that in her character. And she also tells us, look back up verse 10 and 11, that she is worth more than any earthly riches. She's better than treasure. Solomon said this several times through these first 9 chapters. Wisdom's better than it all. Down in verse 18 to 21, similarly, lists more of her value. And remember who's writing this. King Solomon, he had it all, right? He was filthy rich. He had a palace. He had everything that you could think of. And even in all that vast wealth, he found it worthless compared to the surpassing value of knowing God and his wisdom. You read that at the end of Ecclesiastes. All of that wealth that I had, it doesn't compare, my son, church, to wisdom. Even more than that, wisdom is better than all that you might desire. See that there, verse 11, second half? Nothing compares. Oh, I just started singing that song in my head. Nothing compares. Wisdom, though, is that valuable. It's that precious, better than anything else you might desire on this earth. Yes, it's better than that new house you might want, or the new car, or the new trainers, whatever it is that you're after. I mean, if you take a second, just picture something that you desire right now. Go ahead. There's got to be something. Something you want here on earth. Do you have it? It still doesn't compare to wisdom. Wisdom's that good. See, wisdom offers you riches, not in a material sense, but enrichment in a spiritual sense and guidance, right? In a practical sense, which is better than any earthly treasure. Following wisdom, it's not going to make you rich. Although you might be blessed, you might have wealth. And again, following wisdom doesn't mean life will be easy, but you know what wisdom's going to give you? Stability. It's going to give you a foundation for life. Because wisdom has better blessings and gifts to offer than anything in the world. Wisdom offers guidance on life's path and strength for the battles of life. Is that not valuable, church? Do you not value that? Wisdom to navigate all of life? I'd say that's pretty valuable. Then thirdly, wisdom lists some references. Maybe some work references, we'll call them, okay? On her CV, verse 15 and 16, look there. By her king's reign, rulers decree, princes rule, and nobles govern. So the most powerful people on earth, if they're to rule well, they do so by virtue of their relationship to wisdom. Do you see? And you remember, even King Solomon, right? What did he ask God for? Yes, wisdom. In order to rule as king and to govern the people well, he knew what he needed. I need help from God. I need wisdom from the Lord. I read that Kate Forbes is going to step down as deputy first minister after this year, which is a shame. Because as a born-again Christian who is very outspoken about her faith, she understood that real wisdom to lead comes from God, right? And Lady Wisdom. And following godly wisdom is so countercultural today, especially in leadership positions, isn't it? She just took a load of heat yet again at an event at the Fringe, just for her standing for her views on traditional marriage, abortion. She continues to be guided by godly wisdom, no matter the consequences. See, the high and mighty who rule and govern our land well listen to the voice of Lady Wisdom, because they know from it people will be blessed. Even remember Solomon, people came from all over to hear Solomon and his great wisdom. She's a powerful ally to those who lead us. And if those work credentials aren't enough, we get another one. Verse 22 through 31 there. If you notice, this was a beautiful, almost a poem that we get. To show us that wisdom was present during creation and involved in the process. You see there? Solomon alludes back to Genesis 1 and the creation. So not only was wisdom involved in the process, she was created even before the foundations of the world. Can anything on earth say that? No. I mean, when I look from that mountain overlook and Sunlight Basin, I can't help but be amazed, right, at the beauty of God's creation and his power, right? The design, the complexity, it's so impressive. I'm sure you guys have similar places that you can recall where you're like, man, God's creation is unbelievable. Do you have that place? And so just think, in all of that beauty and majesty, wisdom, yes, wisdom was there. You could almost say after reading that in order to get around in God's creation, in order to live in this world, we must know wisdom. Why? Because nobody knows the creation more intimately than her. Do you see? And so who better to navigate all of life while living here? Who better to trust? Problem is, we often don't trust her, do we? We end up trusting in all these other things in the world that have no experience and no wisdom, no godly wisdom to offer. That's what we do, don't we? Now, I broke my leg skiing back in 2013, and it was really bad, okay? And the x-rays revealed what looked like a puzzle that they had to put together, all right? Now, what if they brought in this really young intern, and they said, okay, here's your doctor, it's his first surgery, and he's going to repair your leg. How comfortable do you think I'd feel with that? Would you want him operating on you? No chance. Who do you want then? Well, I want the best. I want the one with the most knowledge of this type of break. I want the one with the most experience, because if it's not done properly, I'm not going to walk right again. In the same way, church, we don't want an inexperienced intern giving us advice on how to live life. We need to stop listening to the world, listening to people and the voices in the world that do not know Lady Wisdom. Who better to listen to learn from than the one who knows all things? Who better to trust in the crossroads and crisis moments of our lives than God and his intimate friend, Lady Wisdom? Amen? She speaks truth. Her character is impeccable. Her work references are impressive. Then lastly, verse 32 to 35, we see the blessings of wisdom. She's going to give her final plea, a summary of what's going to be gained by choosing to follow her. It's kind of like the end of a talk show, you know, when they where the host gives a little monologue or their final thoughts. You know what I'm talking about? There's lots of shows that do that. They're going to share with you a little bit of wisdom, what they took away. So what's wisdom's final thoughts? Let's read that. Verse 32. Now, O sons, listen to me. You hear? Listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. Whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. You will be blessed. You will be wise. You will find life and favor from the Lord. Now, if we take a step back for just a moment and try to get a full picture of all that's available to us, okay, like standing on that mountain overlook, right? Here we are again. Looking at the beauty of God's creation, let's stand at the overlook of this chapter and try to see all that Lady Wisdom is. Wisdom is all around, and she calls to you. Her voice, it teaches us prudence, sense, noble things. She instructs us what is right, what is true. She gives knowledge and understanding, and she's more precious than any earthly treasure. She gives counsel, insight, strength. She gives leaders a sense of justice and how to rule. She loves. She showers us with blessings and righteousness. Wisdom was created before the world was made. She's a delight to God. She gives instruction, favor, blessings in life. This is wisdom, church. Is she not beautiful? And if that's not amazing enough, understand that we've been given wisdom perfected in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 1 referred to Jesus as the wisdom of God. And so to know true wisdom is to know God, the only eternal one, God, very God, Jesus Christ. As we've said many times throughout this study, wisdom, right, is available, but it's without power and without meaning if you don't have Jesus. because you're going to fail. You will turn away from wisdom. You will listen to the voice of folly. And when you do, we often tell ourselves, right, I need to try harder. I need to do better. Problem is, you can't. You can't do better by yourself. You lack power. You lack the Spirit. You lack the right motivation because maybe you don't know Jesus. I'm going to read to you as we finish up Colossians 1, verse 15. He, talking about Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. We've been given the eternal God. Listen, the eternal God, the creator and sustainer of the universe. The one who extends amazing grace and mercy and love and forgiveness for sins by his death on the cross, making peace between God and man, removing God's wrath, giving freedom from sin, from death. And then we get eternal salvation with an inheritance in heaven that will never pass away. All through Jesus Christ, wisdom perfected. He embodies everything Lady Wisdom is. He's done everything necessary for our salvation. And guess what? He's then done everything you need to help you make wise decisions in your life. Because he's been at the crossroads and decisions of life, because he lived it. So he knows us and the world intimately. And he offers it to us simply, isn't this amazing, by repentance and faith. That's it. All that. That should blow your mind. Has the Word of God painted a clear enough picture this morning that you can be in awe of what's being offered to you? Can you see from the overlook the beauty and wisdom and majesty of Jesus and his Word? If you do this morning, praise God. If you're a believer, I pray the Spirit would inspire you to continue to seek after him. May it move you to seek his wisdom, to stop listening to the voices of the world and listen to the wisdom of Jesus from his word, and fix your eyes on him. Because if you don't find Jesus, if you don't follow Lady Wisdom, you will find nothing but death. See that there back in verse 36? You find death. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. If you're not in Christ today, it means you love death, and to live without Christ is to die eternally separated from God. But again, here's the good news. The offer of salvation, the offer of true wisdom is available right now if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. Amen.